We've talked about beating all these things. Today is a more positive one, really. But we're talking about what he was talking about. Out of the Samaritan woman, out of one, right? Cuatro, something cuatro. Got that in there? Out of John chapter 4. And what we're talking about today is beating the issue, beating the barriers that keep us from sharing our faith. Beating the barriers that keep us from sharing Christ. We have a responsibility. God tells us if your life has been changed by him, he gives us a responsibility to share Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we're his ambassadors. We're ambassadors of his kingdom. The kingdom, the ambassador, our ambassador represents the United States. We are the ambassadors of representing the kingdom of God. We represent him. We represent him as an ambassador. We're not the ambassadors for our family. We're not the ambassadors for our church. We're not the ambassadors for the country club. We are the ambassadors for Christ. And therefore, we should represent Christ, our life. And that sounds kind of like, well, that's kind of like harsh, isn't it? But it is really not, because we have that responsibility. When we give our life to Christ, he changes us. And he places us in a position of continual change. Now, the responsibility may say, well, you're putting your thumb on me and tell me what I must do. But not only do we have the responsibility, we have the opportunity to share Christ, which is the other end of that. Not only do we have a responsibility, he says, to go. He tells us over and over to share, to be the salt, to be the light of the world, to speak to the world, to share our faith, to show Jesus, to live Jesus. We have a responsibility, but we have a great opportunity. 2 Corinthians also tells us in that process, 5:18, says that we have the ministry of reconciliation. Today, every one of you here are ministers. Every one of you here are ministers. You don't have an option. If you bear the name of Christ, if you've given your life to Christ, he says you are a minister. Whether you're a card-carrying minister, you know, ordained, it doesn't matter. You're not ordained by men. You're ordained by God to be a minister. In this situation, the ministry of reconciliation. God ordained you as a minister of reconciliation, that we've been reconciled to him, and therefore we have a minute. Every one of you, it is not just Pastor Paul, Pastor Ben, Ryan, myself. It's not just our responsibility to represent Jesus and to share. We all have that opportunity. He gives us that great opportunity to share with others. So why don't we? Now, John chapter 4 is where we're taking this from. However, John chapter 4 is a very long chapter. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it, or your iPad, or your electronic device. I have learned that many of you are using electronic devices. You're actually not playing whatever game you're playing. You're actually taking notes, they say. I don't know. That's what Venetia keeps telling me. But anyway, Candy Crush, whatever game you guys play on that thing. But John chapter 4, at some point you can follow along. We're not going to go through it verse by verse. It's just way too long. We'll be here for hours. But you can go home and read it. But most of you will know the story of Jesus having to go through Samaria. He comes to the well. He sits down. The Samaritan woman comes to the well. And they have the exchange about giving water. And Jesus says, I will give you water. You will thirst no more. And they go through this little this dialogue and her giving her life to him. We have the responsibility. We have the opportunity. So why don't we do that? Because there's barriers within that. There's barrier issues that we face that keep us from it. And most of these issues that I'm going to run through here in the next few minutes that we have together are found in John chapter 4. Not all of them, but you can find them in John chapter 4. That things that are very real but just keep us from sharing our faith. And some of the things in John chapter 4 are from the aspect of the person sharing, and some are from the aspect of the person you're sharing with. He starts off right away. One of the barrier issues that I think many times it deals with our busyness is that we're just too tired. In fact, Jesus, and as you start John chapter 4, he says Jesus was tired and he sat down on the edge of the well. He was tired. And in our tiredness, it's easy to say, I'm just tired, man. You don't know my life. It's been a crazy day. Come home. I don't want to talk to anybody on the bus. I don't want to talk to anybody on the ACE train. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to any kid after school. I'm just tired. Because we're so busy. And we miss those because we're just tired. And it's true, we are tired. Everybody's busy. Everybody's tired. But sometimes it's a barrier. We use that tiredness as an excuse. I just don't want to get into it. I don't want to have a conversation. Man, just let me put my earbuds in and go. Be gone. I think the other issue that sometimes we face is the issue of timing. That's dealing with tiredness as well, but just the timing issues. Oh man, I'm wiped out. Or, maybe it's just not the best time to share with somebody. Maybe they're going through something. And yet we look at these, and sometimes the timing, though it doesn't make sense, are the biggest times of God moments in our life. When it just doesn't make sense. But you see these God moments that come out of nowhere when you're talking about the things of the Lord. And all of a sudden you say, wow. And you need to be aware of the timing. You may think, well, is it my timing or their timing? Where, what's off? But perhaps God's quickening your spirit to be aware of the timing. You may only have a few minutes, but maybe that's all it takes. The timing at the well, the lady normally wouldn't be at the well at that hour of the day. She wouldn't be there. It was about the sixth hour, which is around noon, which is the hottest time of the well. But she had some things working against her that we're going to see in a little bit. Kind of like the three strikes rule, you're out, you be done. And so her three strikes put her at coming to the well at noon in the hottest part of the day. Either by them or by her own failure and fear or embarrassment, she came on her own. We must be aware of the timing. I think there's another barrier issue to many, and that's a prejudice issue. The prejudice issues that we face, which as well we'll look at in just a minute, but the prejudice that had against her, because we know that Jesus, a Jew, would not go into Samaria. They would go all the way, they skirt the border, go all the way around it, because they would not go into Samaria because they didn't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans were Jews who had under captivity of Assyria, had intermingled and intermarried, and so the true Jew did not like the intermingling of the Jewish culture within that. They were known as half-breeds. As offensive that may be some, that's what they were known as. And so they wouldn't go through Samaria because they didn't like Samaritans. And yet Jesus said, I'm compelled to go through Samaria. We're going to go through Samaria. We got to go through. And he sat down at the well, and here he comes. And at the well, he has these things that first off, she comes and she's a Samaritan. And she is a she. They did not speak in cultures that way. They didn't have a male-female relationship conversation go on in those days. Here she is, and yet Christ put away his prejudice for the need in the moment and the timing of the moment to use that which is around her, the water and the pots, and here she is to share about the thing they had in common, that they were both tired and looking for water. I think one of the things that we see here is that Jesus wasn't shy, nor was the woman. The woman engaged with him. Why are you talking to me? But she engaged. And we get many who say, well, I'm just shy. Man, that's the one excuse I don't buy. I'm sorry. A lot of things, okay. But because I'm just shy, I don't want to talk. No, you're just afraid. That's just fear. You may be shy, that's true. But when you see the opportunity and responsibility we have to share faith, and we're not talking about, you know, a whole list of theological studies here. We're just talking about sharing what God has done. There is no reason, there's no excuse, but we got to get over that barrier. Say, well, I'm shy, I don't want to talk. You know what? It's just fear. Get over your fear of how they may respond. Get over the fear of what you don't know. Get over those fears and just share what God has done. Because most people, there's a barrier of ignorance. There's a barrier of ignorance from the person speaking, feeling like, well, I just don't know everything. I don't know it all, so I'm ignorant. I don't want to get into a conversation. And there are those that you're speaking to. Do you realize that most people today are not anti-God? Oh, there's some. Most people aren't anti-God. They're not going to be offended you talking about God. They're not anti-God. They're ignorant of what God is. They're ignorant of a grace of God. They're ignorant of a loving God. They're ignorant at knowing that God really cares about them and values them and treasures them. And we've got to get past that barrier of feeling like either we're ignorant or we're going to be seen as ignorant. Another barrier is that of authority. Man, people, you're afraid of taking a role of authority in their life, and we know that many people today don't like that, do they? They don't like having somebody tell them what to do. They don't want authority. I mean, it's common among kids. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I don't want my parents to tell me what to do. I'm old enough now. I know the world. I'm 18 years old. Don't tell me what to do. Can you pay me not to? You know, that's, you know, give me the money. And the issue of authority, that people don't like it. You can't tell me this, or we claim a higher authority. You know, we used to do that all the time. We did it as kids, didn't we? Well, my mama said. Well, my daddy said. We claim authority. And sometimes we got to get over that barrier of feeling like, well, I don't want to come authoritarian to them. We do it in love. We do it with a loving heart, and that overcomes that. Some people say a commonality is a barrier because, well, we don't have anything in common. What would we ever talk about? How would I ever talk about Jesus to somebody? Well, listen, let me just tell you right now. There's one thing we all hold in common, and that is need. We all have the same need. Hope crosses lines. Forgiveness crosses lines. Some people won't share. You may be one of them because of past failure. Your own failure, or the person you know that you're holding their failures over them. And so we don't share because we're afraid, well, they're going to bring up my failures in my life, or I know their failures and I don't want to talk to them about it. Some don't share because of political correctness. We wouldn't want to offend anybody. The workplace says you can't share. We don't want to be labeled. The religious correctness saying, well, we just got to agree that there's a lot of ways to know God. We wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Let each believe his own way. And so we put that away because we don't want to be seen or labeled. One of the biggest ones is just procrastination. Let's just wait. I'll just wait. I'll share with them later. I'll share with them at another time when the timing's better. And yet some people share in harshness, and that's a barrier because they are harsh, and we shouldn't share in harshness. The Bible says that if we share in harshness, that really we are just wasting our breath. I grew up in a church that shared the gospel in harshness. And I would wonder, I mean, it basically what they were trying to do, and they did it well, was scare the hell out of you. That's what they were trying to do. They'd scare you to the point and turn or burn, hellfire, here it come, damnation, you know, and they'd be ranting and raving. I'm telling you what, after you got done, your hair was blown back off of your head because it was just coming at you. You'd say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but there was nothing there that was really compelling to come to know Christ. The Bible says that that we lift up Jesus, and he will draw all men to him. I don't need to lift up hell. I need to lift up Jesus. And that is what will draw men to him and what he has done for us. But what are the essentials that you need to know? What are the essentials that we need to have to share? Because there are some sharing essentials, and they're not as much as you think. I know some people, they get off into this, well, I just don't know enough. Man, I don't know enough about hamartiology, ecclesiology, eschatology, pneumatology, Christology, and all these things. Because we've got to remember, all the ologies out there, there's only really one that matters, and it's salvation. That's the root of this, is salvation. How does one become right with God, which is actually known as soteriology, if you want to know the truth. So you say, I know about soteriology, but you don't need to. The issue is, how does one come to know Christ? What God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ for us. And the essential is this, life change. The most essential thing you need is life change. For you to know that God changed your life. It may have been some dramatic emotional thing that you had, or it may have been just that all of a sudden you realized you were in need of a Savior and you gave your life to Christ in whatever arrangement that would have been. Whatever arrangement that would have, you know, you gave your life to Christ, that there was life change. You cannot give what you do not have. And if there's been no life change, it sure is hard to talk about it, isn't it? That God changes our life. That's who I was. I intersected with Christ, and this is who I am. Compassion is another essential that is needed. We need to have the compassion that sees people and values people the way God does. To value them the way he does, the compassion of people. And yes, it will take effort. Sharing Christ does take effort. It involves us getting out of our own little shell, peeling back the layers and saying, I'm going to engage with somebody else. I'm going to overcome all my barriers and I'm going to pursue. Very few people come up to me and say, oh my gosh, would you just tell me about Jesus? No, I've never had that really happen. And I'm the pastor. You think they might come and tell me that, huh? No. It does take effort. It takes effort for you students on your high school or college campus. You have to engage within that. It also takes persistence to look and say, you know what, it just doesn't mean one and done. I may need to persistently create a relationship with this person that gives me the opportunity to share. And last but not least, and more so than anything, is praying about it. Praying about the people that God brings into your workplace, into the desk next to you at school or your study group or the library or wherever you're at, to pray for God to give you the opportunity to share your faith with people. So what does this all mean? So what? Let's first, as we've already said, set aside our prejudices. Set aside our prejudices. Jesus said, I'm going to Samaria, and he saw a Samaritan. As I said, she was a woman, and she was a sinner. Three strikes, you're out. Three strikes, you're done. Fortunately, not with Jesus. And hopefully, not with us. That our failures can be more, and they may be again and again, and we offer grace again and again. But we've got to set aside our prejudice. Not the color of a person's skin, but the color of their blood. because it's all the same. We need to set aside the prejudice of where you came from. Remember where you came from. And you need to know some of you may have come from the high and mighty and you think that gives you some credence, and yet you need to realize, no, that means nothing. I love the saying as I've heard in the past, and I love it. It's used especially about arrogance. It says, you'll do well to always keep your nose below your eyes. Think about it. Think about it. Because sometimes we start to get a little snooty and our nose kind of raises up and we think we're somebody. Set aside the prejudice. Set aside that quick evaluation that says, oh, they're nothing. I shared the first service and man, God smacked me. It was this week. I'm up early. I was driving through. I was going to drive through. It could have been Jack in the Box, McDonald's, In-N-Out, wherever. Some of you will know where it wasn't, only because of when I explain it. But I was driving through and getting some coffee. And I drove through in the squawk box. Good morning. Welcome to blah, blah, blah. How can I help you this morning? Blah, blah, blah. Order when you're ready. Blah, blah, blah. And there was just this guy's voice, and it was just pleasant. And I said, hey, how are you this morning? Dude, we had this little conversation. Squawk, squawk box. Woo. Never seen him, you know. Yeah, man, I just want a cup of coffee. That's what I want, just coffee. Just coffee, yeah. Nothing to eat with that? Nope, nothing to eat with that. We'd have this little conversation on the squawk box. Never have seen him. Now, I had from the squawk box to the first drive-through window. I had made an assessment of this guy from that squawk box to the first drive-through window. I thought, this guy sounds nice. This guy sounds like he's got it together. This guy's up early in the morning working. This guy, he is, man, he's just dialed in. How many young guys are up at this hour working, you know, and going to serve me coffee? I'm just thinking, I want to meet this guy. I drive up to the window, and there is a young man with dreads about this long. Rubber bands tied all over the place. Pierces. And I said, thank you, God. Thank you that I got to talk to him in a squawk box before I made a judgmental and prejudicial evaluation by looking at him. Not that I would ever do that. We need to set aside the prejudices and realize that every life is valuable. Every single soul matters. And to set it aside and to know that that person is important. We need to set aside religious prejudices. We need to set aside thought, all the fears, and set it aside. We need to set aside as well, but we need to speak the truth in love. That we speak the truth in love. How do you say it? As some people, I have friends who share their faith regularly, and I appreciate the fact they do that. But man, it's like they have a belt, and they got their six gun on the belt. And they share Jesus like it's coming out to shoot you. And you better respond right, or they'll say, well, you're just going to hell. And they put another notch in their belt because at least they share it with you. But they didn't speak the truth, and they surely didn't do it in love. Corinthians says, we don't do it in love. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. You're just wasting your breath. But I also got to tell you today, folks, I think we need to stop apologizing for the truth. Because I'm not going to. Today, the Muslims are not apologizing for trying to get you to convert. The cults that we know do not apologize for coming and knocking at your door, do they? They don't apologize. They don't come to your door and say, knock, knock. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm here today. I really know you don't want me to be here, but I'm here. You know, I'm sorry. They don't apologize. No, they try to give you their truth. But we, in our culture, as a Christian who knows the truth, who has the Word of God as a life and practice here, we apologize. We're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. We need to do it in love. Speak the truth in love, but don't apologize for the way that God has changed your life. Don't apologize that Christ died on the cross. Don't apologize. Don't think you're putting people out. You're trying to redeem them for an eternity to be with Christ. It's not your job to win them. It's only your job to share. We raise up Christ, it's the Holy Spirit that will draw them. It's the Holy Spirit that will do that work. But we must share. Be looking. Man, be looking for opportunities, eyes to see, ears to hear, those God moments that you may not find, that you may not think. When you least expect it, be looking to see God give you the opportunity to share. Be asking, are you asking God for opportunities? Are you asking him, saying, God, make me aware of this? Are you praying for others? Are you praying specifically for someone? Be asking God to allow that to be, because so we can speak of the hope that lies within us. Be committed to the person you're sharing with. Be committed to them. Invite them to church. Invite them to your life group. Invite them to say, man, we want to be with you. We're not just saying, okay, come to know Christ, see you later. No, we want you to come to know Christ. How can I help you? Can I find a church in the area where you live? Can I help you? Can I give you my phone number? We can start talking about the things of God. Be committed to that person, not just saying, well, I shared Christ with you, bye, see you, bang, out of here. What is the barrier that you have of sharing? We are to be the light. We are to be the salt. We are to be to this world the Lord Jesus. Guys, if you'll start handing those, or women too, if you got them, they're going to hand you a little card. You do not have to, this is just a piece of paper that has three questions on it. I want you to quickly take those papers. I want you to look at them. Paul's going to come. He's going to play a song. But I want you to look at these, because these are just questions. And there's questions I want you to think about. Who shared with you? Who shared with you? Where were you when you were shared the gospel? I grew up in church. I had heard the gospel. I knew it. But I will never forget October 7th in a martial arts class, that after the martial arts demonstration and after the martial arts lesson, Mike Crane said, I think you know about Jesus, but I don't think you know Jesus. And I'll never forget getting on my knees in a martial arts situation and giving my life to Christ, and it changed my life. Who was it that shared with you? What is the barrier that you have as you look at your own life? Why am I, is it just focus? Is it laziness? Is it just I haven't thought about it? Am I afraid? Am I fearful? What is the reason? And lastly, who are you praying for? Are you praying for somebody? I want you to identify. Now, whether you write it down there while we do this song or not, that's up to you. But I want you to leave focused on the issue of sharing your faith. You don't have to know all the ology words. Just know that there's a God who loves you, who changed your life. If you're here this morning, God's never changed your life, this can be the day. This can be the day.